Major sighting here.
All over the place.
Holy f***.
Are these ETs from the future?
Paranormal.
I see dead people.
Somewhere between abnormal and paranormal.
Kind of a eerie feeling.
Do you believe there's been a cover-up by NASA?
Oh, absolutely.
Jeremy Scott asks the questions that we're all dying to know.
We did make you think and wonder what could be.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Hello? Hello?
You know, there is some crazy things that happen with our minds as it relates to body clocks. You know, we do have body clocks. There's some people who will never set an alarm, and they're always up at the same time every day. They have a routine, and they just, they're never fazed by anything. And then there's those people that can sleep through a million different alarm clocks. There's something to our body clocks, and particularly around this time of the year, and then, of course, 8 months from now in November when we fall back. Now we're springing forward, which means, of course, we lose an hour. As I sit you on the West Coast, that official time change in 7 hours from now, we move ahead 1 hour. So don't be late for Sunday morning church or work on Monday morning. Make sure you set your clock ahead when you go to sleep tonight. I've got a psychic and I've got a lawyer on the program tonight by the name of Mark Anthony. No, not the pop singer popular from the mid part of the early part of the 2000s. We're going to be talking about life after death, what happens when we pass, how to deal with it, and so much more. Psychic phenomenon, spirit contact, and how paranormal experiences can actually help everyday people. We hinted on this a little bit last week with Preston Dennett on our 200th episode as we talked about UFO healings. We've got some further proof that paranormal experiences are actually, in some cases, for the better. And, of course, a full paranormal news top in, at the bottom of the hour, each hour, with John Jeter tonight. So make sure you are right here. You're in the right place. And I welcome your call at any time, 818-672-6865. That's 818-672-6865. And you can Skype into Parabnormal. Go to the website, parabnormalradio.com. And we've got all sorts of links up there for the events this evening. They're back. Have you heard, friends? You know, the clown craze that took us over, what was it about, start about 6 months ago or so, wouldn't you say? Many people thought it might have been publicity for a movie. Others were say it had to do with influencing the election. Nonetheless, it was certainly creepy when clowns were invading the world. And it wasn't just happening here in the States. Of course, it was happening abroad. Reports of clowns doing creepy things at creepy times. Creeping out people. Well, it went away, seemingly, right around the time of the election. Donald Trump was voted into office. We headed throughout the holidays, through Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. And about a week later, we inaugurated the president. And since then, there has been absolutely whatsoever no sign of these creepy clowns. Until now. This story from a CBS affiliate out of Pittsburgh who said that there were clowns that were armed and went up to a group of children. The father called 911. Police came out last Saturday during a game of hide and go seek in the woods and did an extensive search. But, of course, did not find who the kids say were two men dressed like scary clowns and carrying weapons that seemed to come out of nowhere. 8-year-old Dylan says that they were chasing us. His father says that they came running in the house screaming that there were guys chasing them. And at first, the father didn't believe the kids. But apparently because of their hysterics, in which they describe these men having clown masks, shotguns, and pipes, you know, to club you if they needed to. I don't know, it could be just a juvenile report. Sure, it certainly could, or it could be the return of the clown craze. You know, I may have just started the events in which I don't encourage other media to continue, and so shoot the messenger in that sense, because I think only highlighting this can actually increase the occurrences. There's people who want to do copycat effects, and they know that people are freaked out about it. There are people who are freaked out about clowns no matter what. And then you you add the hysteria that has swept the nation and the country over the past 7 to 8 months or so, seemingly, and then went away around the election. Coincidence or not so much of a coincidence. Well, it is back. So, I don't know, just keep your eyes out, friends. Crazy, crazy story of getting electrocuted while indoors. Now, I know that is a very, very weird thought, because you would believe that you would be protected by the structure of itself and grounding that was part of the infrastructure. But not the case here. We got this linked up courtesy of Mysterious Universe. In a rural cottage somewhere yonder, I'm not sure it actually says here, at least not readily available. Nonetheless, they made entry. They thought that the person inside could be in harm's way. And eventually they found his body. It was badly burned. He had a first, second, and third degree burns over more than half of his body. You're saying, Jeremy, is this that spontaneous human combustion, that crazy stuff you talked about a couple months ago? Doesn't appear to be. The man was doing work in his house. He was using metal sawhorses. Those are the things in which you would put boards or some other building material that you want to cut with a saw up on, sawhorses. You know, we've all seen the wooden ones. Some are metal, and I don't recommend those. But nonetheless, it served basically as an arc, and the rest is history. The lightning strike came out of the sky, hit the supports, rattled down to, it probably would have ended there had the sawhorses not been metal, but of course the rest is history, as they say. Well, as we approach daylight saving time, or savings time, depending on who you talk to, it certainly does a number on the body. We've all heard of jet lag, which is the series of events that occurs when you have been on a plane for a long amount of time and your body, you know, isn't adjusted, usually to the altitude. That's usually the issue with jet lag. Of course, you know, you're changing time zones. There's a variety of factors. It also has to, you know, it depends on where you're traveling. And obviously the elevation there, and also the time zone change and your final destination. But it can do a number on your body clock. So, you know, as they say, I don't know what they say, but if you were going to bed at a particular time, your body is used to that, and you should probably stick to that, which means even though technically, your body is used to going to bed at what is now currently that time and is going to be different an hour more or an hour less, unless you're in states like Indiana or Arizona or Hawaii, which, of course, do not celebrate daylight savings time, which is already confusing for many. And then you throw in states who just don't acknowledge it. And, yeah, that makes it a whole bunch more confusing. But if you're going to bed at the same time, you should continue to go to bed at that same time. Now, your body will adjust itself to that hour difference, which, of course, used to be about 6 months apart from each other. And then a couple of years ago, or maybe a dozen years ago now, they changed it to where it is now March and November. But nonetheless, that could affect your body clock. So if you're finding yourself maybe a little bit groggy as you get up on Monday morning and head back to work, that's probably going to be the reason why. So you might want to, go to bed early on Sunday night, as they say. Nothing good ever happens on Sunday night. Does it really? I mean, everybody goes to church on Sunday, or they watch football, or depending on what time of the year it is. But everybody's got to go back to work Monday for the most part. And, there's no good reason to be doing stuff on Sunday. All right. Just a home day. At least that's what it's become for me. I digress. On the program tonight, we've got the psychic lawyer, Mark Anthony. We're going to welcome him to the program here for the rest of this segment. And then we've got Paranormal News with John Jeter at the bottom of the hour. And tonight on the program, well, that device in your hand, yeah, you're probably holding it right now. It's a phone. It's a tablet. It's a remote. It controls some sort of medium or media on a screen. You know, more people are going digital and cutting the cable and the cord, as they say. Well, think about it. If it was hacked, would you even know about it? And who might want to hack it? And for what possible reason? And is there any evidence of that hacking? Well, of course, we'll be talking about that at the bottom of the hour with John Jeter. And as we talked about last week with Preston Dennett, UFO and ET contact is certainly something that if you ask the average person who listens to this program, they would probably tell you that, yeah, they do believe in it. But what does mainstream America think about alien contact? These are people who don't subscribe to these theories, but might be open to them. And so we'll get some numbers as far as that is concerned at the bottom of the hour. And should we be concerned at all about a force as powerful as 500 million suns? Keep it right here on Into the Paranormal for John Jeter and Paranormal News coming up in about 13 minutes from now. Mark Anthony is known as the psychic lawyer. He's a fourth-generation psychic medium and communicates with spirits. He's an attorney licensed to practice law in Florida and Washington, D.C., and previously at the United States Supreme Court. Mark graduated from Mercer Law School, studied law at Oxford University, and mediumship at the Arthur Findlay College for the Advancement of Psychic Science. He is a speaker, best-selling author of Evidence of Eternity, Communicating with Spirits for Proof of the Afterlife. His website is evidenceofeternity.com. He's a psychic and he's a lawyer. Mark Anthony, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jeremy. It's really great to be here.
It's my privilege to have you here. So how can you be a psychic and a lawyer at the same time, Mark?
easy. You just do it. A lot of people think that the two professions are diametrically opposed. The fact of the matter is, Jeremy, I was born a psychic medium, and this runs in my family. Both of my parents have these abilities, and it goes back for generations. And so I was always interested in spirituality and helping people. So I thought I was going to go into the clergy for a long time, but I figured there was too many rules and regulations. So I decided to go to law school instead, like there's no regulations there. So that's it in a nutshell.
Well, Mark, what is the reaction to your line of work?
In what sense?
Those you come in contact with?
Well, as a medium, I think one of the most difficult things, Jeremy, and what I like about your show is that you bring I like the way you call it Into the Para-Abnormal. I love the play on that.
Thanks.
And what you do and what this show does is it brings things that are outside of perhaps the everyday experience of most people, and you discuss them logically and openly. And you also bring guests on like myself and others to explain things in a logical fashion. Because, you know, there is an explanation for everything. We just may not know what it is. And certainly being a psychic medium, one of the things is that I'm constantly having to justify that what I do is real and legitimate. And that's just part of what comes with it. And I don't mind that, but that's one of the things that come with it. And certainly as an attorney, everybody has a reaction to that. So I've got two professions that people definitely have reactions to. And I would venture to say that most people are not thrilled with attorneys. Because the fact of the matter is, Jeremy, when do you wake up one day and say, gee, I'm in a good mood. Everything in my life is perfect. I think I'll go see a lawyer. Okay, you normally don't. It's when you get sued or you get into an accident or you get arrested or, you know, you have some type of legal or financial problem that you need professional help with. So people come to attorneys when they have problems. Now, with a psychic medium, there are the closed-minded cynics. I don't even call them skeptics. They're just closed-minded cynics who refuse to believe that there's anything that they can't see, taste, smell, or touch. Okay, so if they can't do that, then there's nothing. And then there are the religious fanatics who somehow think that this is evil because their worldview is based on Bronze Age and Iron Age backward thinking. And the fact of the matter is what I do is real and legitimate and is used to help people cope with the loss of a loved one. So even though there's always people out there, the naysayers and those that want to be very negative towards spirit communication, they have an absolute right to believe that way. As an attorney, I know that. As an attorney, I've defended a lot of people's positions that maybe I didn't necessarily agree with, but they had a constitutional right to do that. But you know, people also should have respect and at least keep an open mind to things that are outside of their everyday realm of experience.
So, Mark, at what age did you know what a psychic was growing up with psychics in the family?
Probably around age three or four, because that's when I started seeing spirits. Now, it's not like my parents sat down and said, oh, Mark, you're a psychic. And, you know, they referred to it as like, you know, the family gift or the ability. And my mom was like, oh, my gosh, she's got the ability. And my dad was concerned because, you know, he saw how his family members had been treated very badly, people who were afraid. And so I remember he told me, Mark, I don't want you talking about this outside of the house. Okay, just keep it, you know, you can tell your mother and I all you want, but other people won't understand. And as I got older, I began to to realize and to see that having what you and I would call psychic ability, not everybody necessarily had, or maybe everybody has, but not to the extent that my mother, especially my mother, had.
And when did you say that is real?
I can't ever think of a time when I didn't think it was real, or know it was real. And it's because it's part of who I am. It was part of my mother's very being and my father's being. And so we always accepted it as, you know, and I don't mean this in any way to sound lofty or, you know, full of hubris, but it's a gift from God. And we all have gifts from God. Everybody does. It's just that some of them are different than others. I mean, some people are very skilled at carpentry and other people are just good at listening. I mean, listening to somebody who needs to express him or herself or who is very depressed, just being a good listener, that's a gift from God. Being a good parent is a gift from God. So we all have different gifts and abilities. It's just that the ones I've inherited are a little bit different.
So we'll ask Mark when we come back, can a psychic lawyer tell if a plaintiff or a defendant is lying? And much more as the conversation tonight, pretty wide, from life after death and spirit contact, which started at the age of 3 or 4 for Mark, psychic phenomenon, and we'll work our way up to paranormal phenomenon and healing with Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer. John Jeter's Paranormal News is next. You've got to keep it right here on Into the Paranormal.
This is Paranormal News. I'm John Jeter. Here's a scary thought. You're sitting there with your phone, tablet, or whatnot, and all of a sudden, stuff just starts to happen on its own. Smile. You've been hacked, maybe even by the CIA. WikiLeaks has dumped thousands of pages of internal CIA documents that read like manuals for hacking into such devices through the Internet. They've threatened to publish the tools, which reportedly allow the agency to capture data on voice and text messages. Several independent cybersecurity experts say the files appear to be the real deal. So here's your warning. Just because there's an app for that doesn't mean it isn't being used to spy on you. Answer. It generates as much energy as 500 million suns. Question. What are fast radio bursts? Physicists at Harvard have a new theory on FRBs, which were first discovered in 2007. They're some of the most elusive and explosive signals ever detected in space, and researchers now say they could be evidence of advanced alien technology. The bursts are random as can be and last just milliseconds. Scientists found 16 originating from the same source beyond our Milky Way last year, which appeared to be first ever to repeat. Earlier this year, 6 more were detected from a faint dwarf galaxy more than 3 billion light years from Earth. Researchers believe that some 2,000 bursts are lighting up the universe daily. Wow, man, there hasn't been a convincing explanation for what's causing this, so it must be aliens, right? How do you prepare to face something that's not human on the battlefield? Well, that's a good question. We better learn quick. A House committee was warned this week that we should expect our enemies to be using artificial intelligence to fight our troops within the next decade.
I think that these technologies are going to aid the offense much more than it aids the defense. Because to defend against these kinds of attacks, you need your own supercomputer.
Jason Healy of the Atlantic Council's Cyber Statecraft Initiative, here's what all this means. It's really only a matter of time before somebody with a joystick can literally control the world. Connect with these stories at ParanormalRadio.com. I'm John Jeter, Paranormal News.
Jeremy doesn't bite. Call 818-672-6865 or Skype in at Into Paranormal.
And our conversation continues with the psychic lawyer. His name is Mark Anthony, and his website is evidenceofeternity.com. He's author of Evidence of Eternity, Communicating with Spirits for Proof of the Afterlife. No doubt in your mind, spirit contact is real, Mark, huh?
No doubt whatsoever, and because it's been part of my life since I was a child. You know, my childhood was very interesting now that I look back on it. At the time, I didn't think anything of it because that was my reality. But I'd come home from school, and let's say I was in high school, and Mom would have this look on her face, and she'd say, "I saw a spirit today." And I'd be like, "Cool, do we have any peanut butter?" "Yeah, honey, it's over there." And it's just, it's just how it was. And then as I got older, I decided to work with it and refine the ability. And it's just been an incredible and an extremely humbling journey. It's quite a responsibility to be able to facilitate communication between people here in our world and their loved ones on the other side. And there's not a day that doesn't go by that I don't give thanks to God for that.
Is there a time in which you can turn off your communications with spirits?
That's a good question. Absolutely. And I've learned that it's very important to turn it off, Jeremy, because, think about it this way. And the way I like to explain it is you don't leave the doors and windows of your house open and unlocked 24/7. Okay, maybe if you live out, in 50 acres of land and your nearest neighbor's 10 miles away, maybe that's one thing. But most people don't do that. And you don't want to do that psychically or, mentally either. And what you have to realize in dealing with spirit communication that you're in charge and you define the parameters. So I let them know I'm either doing this or I'm not doing this. Now, that's not to say that, even when I say I'm not doing this, that something doesn't happen, which brings me into a situation, where I communicate with spirits. But, especially when I was younger, I'd wake up and there'd be like, I'd see all these spirits standing around my bed and, it's like, "Hey," and so it's, you've got to tell them, "Look, you gotta cut me some slack. You gotta give me some private time." And spirits understand that. And once you develop a rapport with them, they will respect your space.
What kinds of things should you tell a spirit to kind of back off?
Basically that, say, "Look, I'm not doing this now and I appreciate you coming through, but you need to step aside." But, one day I was driving into town with a friend of mine, and I live on the Barrier Island in Florida, and we went across the causeway to the mainland, and I had to go to like Lowe's or, Home Depot, someplace like that. I was fixing something at the house and running a few errands, and he was going with me. And all of a sudden I said, "I want to take the other causeway," which is a couple miles north of that back home. He goes, "Why?" I go, "I don't know. I just want to." And he was looking at me because he's been around me my whole life, and he's like, "Oh, God, you're doing that thing again, And so we're driving to the street that will take us back over to the beach, and I see an art show, and I said, "I need to pull over." So we pull over, and there's an art show, and I said, "I need to see this." And he goes, "Okay." Well, there's all these people doing sidewalk chalk, and we're walking down the street, and I'm humming, "Hey, Jude," and it's an old Beatles song, it's way before my time, but I keep – and he's like, "What is up with you and Hey, Jude?" And I go, I don't know. So anyway, I see this these people doing sidewalk chalk, and I walk up, and this one lady had this most incredible thing she was drawing. I mean, you could tell she was a real artist. It looked like a photograph of a rainforest tree frog. It was just incredible. And I go, "Wow, that's amazing." And she looks up and she goes, "You're Mark Anthony, the psychic, aren't you?" And I'm looking down at her and I go, "You look familiar." She said, "You did a reading for me 4 years ago after my son committed suicide." And all of a sudden I remembered who she was because I actually wrote about her in my first book, Never Letting Go. And she said, "Today is the anniversary of his death." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh." And all of a sudden, he came through and she handed me her business card, and her name as an artist was Jude. And it was like, holy smokes. So I didn't even realize when I was humming Hey Jude all day that what was actually going on, Jeremy, is that her son was guiding me to take a completely different way home over another bridge and then make me decide, or at least planted the suggestion, to stop at this art show so that he could get a message through me to his mom on the anniversary of his death. And It's like when things like that happen, and it's funny because my friend, he's like, he goes, it is so weird hanging around you. He said, if I didn't know you my whole life, he goes, you'd really scare me. He goes, but that was just, you know, that was so nice what happened. And it's like, well, I'm just the radio. I'm just the conduit for this. So it can be an awesome responsibility. And when things like that happen, it makes all the difficulties and all the naysayers and all that pale by comparison.
Mm-hmm. When you make contact with these spirits, Mark, and the psychic lawyer Mark Anthony is my guest, evidenceofeternity.com, his website, how do you prepare yourself for what you're about to encounter?
I'm very meticulous in my health habits. Like, I don't drink, I don't smoke. And a lot of people go, you don't drink, you're no fun. It's like, yeah, well, it's all about brainwave frequency because in my law practice, I specialized in head injury litigation, and I learned quite a bit about the human brain. And then when I started studying mediumship and I saw that there's a part of the brain, the pineal gland, which regulates brainwave frequency. And so you want to be able to get to your optimum level. And unfortunately, inebriants, drugs, you know, Xanax, recreational drugs, alcohol, decrease brainwave functionality and frequency. So what I do is I pray and I meditate to clear out my head. And generally for the hour before I do a reading, I like it to be kind of peaceful. I don't want to like argue with people or be around excessive technology or anything like that. Just kind of clear my mind out. And then when I talk to the client that I do the reading for, I always start my sessions with a prayer because, Jeremy, I believe that prayer raises vibrational frequency. Now, I know that I'm talking quite a bit about God and frequency and prayer, and I would describe myself as spiritual rather than religious because I believe that all the religions offer great value to people. Where it goes awry is when people start saying, my way is the only way, and everyone else who doesn't believe this way is wrong. And there's an old Hindu prayer that there are many paths to the top of the mountain. The only person wasting their time is the one running around the mountain telling everyone else their path is wrong.
Mark, as far as your two careers, do you ever use them in tandem?
Absolutely. It's part of my skill set. The funny thing is, and at this point in time, Jeremy, what I'm doing is I'm a full-time medium and public speaker. In fact, I'll be at the Reincarnation Summit at the Edgar Cayce Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach in early May. And then I'll be the keynote speaker at the International Association of Near-Death Studies in Denver in early August. And in September, I'll be at the Afterlife Symposium in Phoenix, Arizona. And that's just to name a few. I've got several other events lined up in television appearances and radio interviews like on this show throughout the year. So and I also appear on many programs as a legal analyst, especially when the paranormal and the legal collide. And what a great show to be on to talk about that, because there's a lot of those issues. But when I was practicing law full time, it was funny because the people that knew about it, and my clients always liked it because they felt that, you know, it gave me an edge. And the fact of the matter is, it gives me insights. It certainly doesn't make me invulnerable or in any way perfect, because nobody is, but it certainly can give me some insights which can be used to help on the case. I've got a couple examples if you want me to go through those, unless you want to talk about something else.
Go ahead.
Well, I was trying this one case, and actually wrote about this in my first book, Never Letting Go. And it was a barroom brawl type of situation. It's like my client was a big bruiser and he got in a fight with another big bruiser. So basically my client beat the daylights out of this other guy. So he filed charges. And that's not unusual in the mutual combat between, you know, between guys. And, you know, it still is a crime of violence. So at the beginning of the trial is jury selection. And jury selections before any evidence is taken or even opening statements, because the prosecution gets to ask questions of the jury panel and the defense, and I was the defense attorney at the time, got to ask questions because we want to make sure we have the most fair and unbiased jury as possible. Well, this one juror I kept zeroing in on, this a very attractive lady, and I kept feeling a female presence around her, a spirit, and I kept feeling this tightening around my throat. And something – I knew something was going on here. And so I asked her, I said, have you or has anyone in your family ever been the victim of a violent crime? And – she starts to tremble and shake, and the tears just start to flow from her eyes, and she looks up at me, and she said, a year ago, my sister was in a foreign country when a mental patient escaped, strangled her, dismembered her body, and threw her in a dumpster like she was garbage. And I'm standing there in court, and it's like, you know, they didn't teach me in law school how to deal with this one. And even the prosecutor, who's usually a real pain in the, you know, didn't know what to say. And my client, I can hear him going like, dude, what are you doing? And everybody's looking at me like, do something. And all of a sudden, this woman's sister's spirit starts intensifying. And the reason I was feeling the tightening around my throat is because I pick up on how people died. So literally, Jeremy, I had a foot in this side and the other side. I had an absolute constitutional obligation to defend my client, yet here's the spirit coming through.
That you can't really ignore that, can you, Mark?
Not really. And if people want to find out what happened in that situation, you're going to have to read my book, Never Letting Go. Hey, I'm not going to give away all the good stuff, you know, but it was really intense. And I've had a number of situations where I pick up on things. What was always fascinating is because I can see auras too, which is an ability everybody has. And it's like when you see an outline around people. I mean, a light bulb has an aura. Okay. And I mean, it's the glow directly around that. And we have an energy field because we have an electrical field. And doing negotiations with people, and when you see the attorneys, they always have like real tight auras, you know, because they're real focused and concentrated. And the clients usually have these diffuse auras, which are, you know, like jumping all over, because auras shift and change just the way our energy flow changes. And so this isn't some airy fairy thing. This is based on quantum physics and also on medical science. We know the heart, the neurological system, the brain all have electrical flow going through them. And, you know, electricity ebbs and flows, and sometimes it's, you know, our brainwave frequency is at a higher gear. So that's why auras can be affected. And what's fascinating, Jeremy, in aura work, you know these expressions that people have had for thousands of years, like someone's green with envy. Or he's yellow. I mean, that was a real expression back like in the Civil War in the early part of the 20th century. Is he's yellow, okay, meaning a coward. And what's fascinating is that people who are extremely envious or jealous, their aura will start to spark the color green. And people who are very much afraid will emanate a yellow color. And so that's where these expressions have come from. It's like when you look at Christian, Muslim, and Hindu and Buddhist art, and you see a halo around, you know, like Jesus or Buddha or, you know, various saints. Well, a halo is an artist's depiction of an aura. And so there's nothing new about this. It's been observed since at least ancient Egypt. That's, you know, they have depictions of many of the gods and kings and such in their artwork, showing auras, halos, and all the way up to the present day. So these things have been around and have been documented. It's just that now we have the technology to be able to measure electrical flow through bodies, and we're on the verge of discovering the existence of an afterlife based on quantum physics.
Mark, can you tell by just sizing somebody up and using your psychic abilities to tell if they are telling the truth or not, particularly a plaintiff or a defendant?
Well, that's a very good question, and some people are extremely accomplished liars. And as an attorney, I've run across a number of people like that. And psychic ability can give you insights and intuitive feelings about people. I remember I was trying this one jury trial, and the cop, this guy looked like Tom Cruise from, what was that, the one with the airplanes, Top Gun. I mean, he was G.I. Joe, clean cut, squeaky clean, handsome. And the hard part was the jury was all women. And my client, with all due respect to my client, kind of looked like a garden gnome. I mean, this guy, he really wasn't, you know, Mr. America. Unfortunately, you know, the cop was. And it was a drunk driving case. And my client, poor guy, he suffered from asthma and he had all these medical conditions. And he wheezed when he breathed, had this type of wheezing, and he had chronic red eyes. And so the cop was making a real big deal about, well, said subject had very bloodshot eyes, you know, and he was insinuating that my client had bloodshot eyes because he was under the influence. And all, you know, so I'm cross-examining him, and all of a sudden I started getting a feeling that I really needed to get into this one area. So I said, okay, people can have red bloodshot eyes from a lot of reasons, like being in a smoky room. He goes, well, yes, that's possible. I go, from perhaps swimming in a pool chlorine, because, you know, we live in Florida. He goes, there was no indication that your client was swimming in the pool. And I said, and then it hit me. I knew I needed to ask this. I said, you ever seen somebody whose eyes were bloodshot from crying? And he looked at me and he goes, no, I never have. And I said, are you married? And all of a sudden, his face contorted. He goes, I never made her cry like that. And let me tell you, Tom Cruise certainly turned into Beelzebub. And all the women on the jury stopped looking at him adoringly and gave him this really mean, nasty look. And I knew right then and there, my psychic intuition told me no further questions. And I sat down. The case went to the jury and came back, Jeremy, within 5 minutes. With a not guilty. I mean, 5 minutes. I mean, it normally takes a half hour just to pick a foreperson for the jury. These ladies went back in the room and all decided that cop is one lying guy. And I think they kind of forgot about my client and all the evidence about that. They were just so ticked off that this guy was lying. And that is one of those instances where you have to rely on your intuition. Now, a lot of people can say, well, you know, any good attorney could do that. Exactly, because a good attorney relies on his or her intuition, just like every cop, every Delta Force guy I've known, every Ranger, every Navy SEAL, because I do a lot of readings for military personnel. Every one of them tells me that if they didn't rely on their intuition, they'd die. And that there's some things that the logical mind just can't produce, but that feeling, that gut feeling, that impulse, that intuition, that makes all the difference.
My guest is Mark Anthony. He's known as the Psychic Lawyer, and you can find more about him at evidenceofeternity.com. Also on Twitter, you can give him a follow, as they say. He's also on Facebook as well. We've got those links up at ParanormalRadio.com. And Mark, as we move kind of into the territory of the book Evidence of Eternity, in which you speak a little bit about the scientific gap or the link between spirituality and science.
Absolutely. What we're seeing now, and when I say we, Jeremy, I mean people who study spirit communication in the afterlife as a science. From the beginning of time, God, the afterlife, near-death experiences have all talked about the light. You know, Jesus talks about seeing the light. Buddha talks about seeing the light. Muhammad talks about the light. You know, Krishna talks about the light. Gandhi did. Mother Teresa did. I mean, you know, the evangelicals talk about the light. And what we believe is that the light is how people of faith or people who have near-death experiences who die and their consciousness leaves their body and they encounter this bright light, that this is the spiritual energy of God. Now, Einstein said that we're all beings of light. And what we have found is that everything is composed of molecules. You and I know this. Molecules are made of atoms. Atoms are composed of electrons, protons, and neutrons, and those particles are made of a smaller subatomic particle referred to as quanta. And quanta is electromagnetic energy, and that's the basis of everything. The air we're breathing, the microphones we're talking into, the computer screens we're looking at, the space between the Earth and the sun itself, everything that exists is made up of the same energy. And so we're all energy and we're all energetically connected. And as Albert Einstein said 100 years ago, he said, there is no matter. We have it all wrong when it comes to matter. What we have is energy which vibrates at different frequencies, and like you and I perceive material objects because the energy of those things and the people we're perceiving are vibrating at a lower and slower frequency so that we can perceive them. So everything everywhere is energetically interconnected, and that's what God is. God is this immense energy that we're all part of. So
yeah, you hear the music. We do have to go. The psychic lawyer, Mark Anthony, but another hour coming up with him is by request. My sweet lord, you're a Beatles fan, eh?
Oh, always. I'm a Mozart fan, too.
News, weather, more with the psychic lawyer, Mark Anthony, next. We're back with Mark Anthony here in the second hour of the program. Mark, do you do, like, predictions and readings? Are you that kind of a psychic?
I'm not a fortune teller. I'm a medium, and so when spirits when I open up to frequency and spirits come forward, they'll transmit information to me. Now that sometimes they give me future events, but that's not the mainstay of what I do.
So if somebody wants like predictions on you know maybe prosperity, relationship, anything like that, you're not the guy.
No, I'm not a love life career fortune teller. And you know, because a lot of that, I know people who are very good at, see, psychics and mediums, all mediums are psychics, but not all psychics are mediums. It's that we tune into different stations. A psychic tunes into the energy of a person, place, or thing, and they can, in some instances, discern future events. A medium tunes in to, a higher frequency known as the other side. So long story short, if you want to find out about love, life, and career, talk to a psychic. You want to talk to dead people, see a medium.
That's a very good differentiation. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, different station. And the thing is, though, I have picked up on a number of future events. My mother was really good at it. Not that she tried. It just would come to us. And what happened, and the only reason I'm bringing this up is because it was witnessed by about 50 people. I was doing an event at a bookstore in Vero Beach, Florida, and I kept getting Paris, Paris, Paris. And right after that, and Paris didn't resonate with anybody. The terrorist attacks in Paris occurred right after that. Then a few months later, I was in Sedona, Arizona, doing an event in front of a couple hundred people, and I kept getting something about Orlando, Orlando, and it didn't resonate with anyone in the room. And 4 hours later, the Pulse nightclub shooting happened. And I could go on and on with things like that. But what this indicates is that I'm picking up on frequency. I'm picking up on vibration. And what it is, Jeremy, a lot of times, like for all the people that are listening, those of you who are parents, ask yourselves this. How many times have you been doing something and all of a sudden you felt something bad or something negative was happening to one of your children, and then you find out after the fact that it was? This is not a fluke. What's going on is we're all energetically interconnected, and you start picking up on that vibration. And the reason that people tend to pick up on negative things, negative future events, is because the vibration is denser, lower, and stronger, and happy events are higher and in a little bit, quite a bit more subtle. Think of it this way. If you play a guitar, the string, the low E string, which is at the top, okay, you hit that, it's like very intense resonating vibration, and you not only hear it, but you can feel it. Whereas the high E string is harder to feel. Okay, so most people will be able to pick up on negative vibrations because it's a lower, denser, easier to discern frequency than it is the higher frequencies. So I hope that explains how people pick up on negative events versus positive ones.
Mark, back to the topic of spirit contact. Why do they exist? Why do spirits exist? Are these lost souls? What's your take on it?
Well, if we know from the laws of physics that energy is neither created nor destroyed, only transferred. And I depart from a lot of my colleagues because I think that the problem with mediumship is that a lot of it is mired in Victorian era thinking, and unfortunately, like a lot of religions, is anchored to a lot of fear and primitive superstitious, nonsense. Spirits exist because energy is neither created nor destroyed, only transferred from one form to another. Energy is eternal, and as physicists at the Max Planck Institute in Germany, and really, can you think of a more serious place than a German physics institute, have compared the human brain to a computer hard drive. And the consciousness, which is what science refers to, what people of faith call a soul or a spirit, okay, but we're talking about the same thing. The brain does not create consciousness. The brain merely houses it temporarily, the way a computer hard drive houses information, and which when the computer hard drive crashes, the information gets uploaded, let's say, to Dropbox or Microsoft Cloud. And when a person dies, physically dies, the soul, the consciousness, survives the physical death. And a lot of scientists—
Amen, brother.
I'm sorry?
I said, amen, brother.
Isn't that cool? And we're now having physicists come out. I mean, we're having Russian physicists, the Lebedev Institute in Moscow, Oxford, Cambridge, certainly Max Planck, University of Arizona, MIT, the Japanese Physics Institute, are all saying that the quantum field within the brain continues to function and exist after death. And this is what near-death experience researchers starting in the 1970s have been saying, is that consciousness survives physical death and it remains coherent. And in the work that I've done, I've done probably 15,000, more like 16 or 17,000 readings now throughout the course of my life. Let me tell you, these spirits are very coherent, and they are transferring to a higher frequency. You can call it heaven, the other side, nirvana. The way I like to look at it is, Jeremy, you and I live in AM radio, and the other side's FM radio. And the two systems both use energy and vibration, and occasionally they overlap. And that's what spirit communication is an overlap of frequency between the material world and the other dimension. And that's why in my book, Evidence of Eternity, I introduce new concepts to redefine spirit communication. I would call it interdimensional communication, and I've introduced a number of other terms to replace antiquated verbiage created in the Victorian era.
Mark, on the topic of evidence of eternity, how is your book different than some of those others out there on this topic?
Well, absolutely, because Evidence of Eternity explains spirit communication, Jeremy, on the basis of science, theoretical physics, human physiology, and evidence. I don't refer to the other side as spirit. A lot of psychics, oh, spirit this, spirit that. No, it's frequency. We're talking to a higher frequency, and there's a lot of spirits in these higher frequencies, and they're not evil or negative, and I don't believe in the archetypal hell and demons and all of that, and I'm sure a lot of your guests do because it makes for, you know, great radio. I think that there's a lot of non-human spiritual intelligence on the other side, which people don't understand, and therefore things we don't understand we tend to fear and then immediately put a negative label on it, okay? And because I mean, I communicate with spirits at least 5 to 6 days a week. I do occasionally take a day off, and I've never heard of hell. Now, they talk about lower frequencies and higher frequencies, but there isn't some neurotic white guy sitting on a throne smiting people with a scepter because they didn't tithe 10% and casting people into a pit of fire for eternal damnation. That is a bunch of negative archetypes developed in the Dark Ages in order to scare people into conforming to a particular belief system and support it financially. So what the other side is it's higher frequencies, and reincarnation is real. Energy is neither created nor destroyed, only transferred from one form to another. In fact, Dr. Michio Kaku, one of the originators of string theory, recently said that eternal life does not violate the laws of physics. And certainly the physicists at the Max Planck Institute, talking about reincarnation, have stated that the quantum field in your brain continues to exist after the brain and the human body die. And then Dr. Robert Lanza, who proposed the theory of biocentrism, and biocentrism stands for the proposition that we tend to identify our existence with our body. And of course, why wouldn't we? Okay, because we're born, we have a body, we watch the body grow old, and then the body dies. But the fact of the matter is, as Dr. Lanza indicates, that we actually exist beyond the body, and that the quantum field within the body, within the brain, leaves the brain, goes to another dimension, meaning the other side, and can then reattach to a new host, like a fetus. So that would be the scientific explanation for reincarnation, which makes a lot more sense than, you know, you go up to the pearly gates and there's a white guy there with a staff who says, well, you've been bad, so here, say, take that elevator there going down to hell, and some guy with a pitchfork stick in the butt for the next, you know, eternity. That is a bunch of primitive, superstitious nonsense. Yes, evil exists. There's positive and negative energy, but we don't need a hell when you have reincarnation, because you come back. And the fact of the matter is, for those of you, for those listeners who are suffering from the death of a loved one, you're in hell. That is hell. Hell is here on earth, because the other side, when you are devoid of a physical body, you don't get old, you don't get sick, you don't die, because energy cannot do those things. And for whatever reason, and I don't have all the answers, I have insights, you know, because I'm not God, I just have insights and things. We come back to the material world to go through a series of lifetimes. So that's why I tell everyone, you know, be nice, because one thing about karma, it never loses an address.
It's a you know what.
It is that indeed.
If folks have questions, they can call in. I just want you to know that 818-672-6865, as we're having a dandy time, but you're welcome to join the party. 818-672-6865. And that number is also on the website as well. I've put it in the chat room if you're on Spreaker.com tonight. 818-672-6865. You can also call in via Skype. Click the button there at the website. That's how we're communicating with Mark. And what part of the country are you in, sir?
Florida.
Florida.
East Coast. Florida.
East Coast. What's coming up for you in the professional realm? I know you have a lot of public appearances, and you're kind of in demand. You're kind of a big deal.
Well, that's kind of you to say. Well, if people go to my website, evidenceofeternity.com, on the calendar of events, it will give a number of the things which are coming up. Certainly, I have a lot of radio shows, some TV appearances coming up, but I'll be speaking in May at the Edgar Cayce Association for Research and Enlightenment at the Reincarnation Summit. And I'll be giving a presentation, Debunking Death, the Science of Reincarnation and Near-Death Experiences. And then I'm honored to be speaking there and at the International Association of Near-Death Studies, where I'll be talking about quantum consciousness, how science proves the, not only the existence of the soul and an afterlife, but the reality behind near-death experiences. And then there's the afterlife symposium in Scottsdale, Arizona, which will be where I'll be one of the speakers as well, talking about different aspects of eternal life based on physics. Because what it is in my work as an attorney, one of the things I have enjoyed about being an attorney is when you get a case, you have to learn about that case. And I specialized in head injuries, so I learned about the human brain. You get into accidents, you have to learn about accident reconstruction. I've learned about physics, and I can go on. And all those have tied together to give me the background to be able to explain these concepts. Because let me tell you, quantum physics, I don't think there is a more difficult subject than that. And there was one day about 6 months ago, I was working on one of my presentations, and I was trying to understand this one concept about you know, subatomic particles and the timelessness of time. And Jeremy, I was ready to just start pulling my hair out. And I was like, this is like giving me a headache. And I all of a sudden this quote popped up from the great physicist Heisenberg, and he said,
"Oh, from Breaking Bad, right?"
No, I'm just kidding. That's where Walter White took the name Heisenberg. And I know, very good, very good. And Heisenberg said, "When you think you understand quantum physics, you really don't." And it was like, thank you. But yeah, that I loved Breaking Bad. I thought that was. That was good TV. Mm-hmm. That was good TV.
Hello, North Carolina. You're on with the psychic lawyer, Mark Anthony. Welcome.
Oh, hi. My name's Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
I just had a question. I've had two sisters pass away, and I've always wondered if they've ever tried to contact me or let me know anything. And
yeah, Jeremy,
if
I can't
am
hear
getting
Marilyn
any signals, I don't know it. So what do you take on that?
Mark, she is saying that she has had two sisters pass away. And Marilyn, you say that they have not contacted you, or you would like to know if they've contacted you?
Yes. I don't know if I'm getting signals from them, and I just don't understand that's what it is, or is there any way to know they're really out there watching over me or knowing about what I'm doing?
She wants to know if they are out there watching over her, or if they know, if they are aware of her. Apparently, she has had two sisters who are deceased. This is Marilyn in North Carolina, Mark.
Hi, Marilyn. First off, let me express my condolences on your losses. siblings, you. Sisters are special. I mean, all of our relationships are special, and I can only imagine how devastating it is. Spirits are always aware of what's going on our lives. My book, Never Letting Go, there's a chapter on contact experiences, which explain how to recognize them and how to notice the subtle ways spirits get through to us. And my book, Evidence of Eternity, explains it in greater detail, a concept that I introduced referred to as frequency beacons, which explain how they can pick up on what's going on with you and how you can do things to draw them to you. Now, a lot of times people are upset because they feel that the spirit hasn't contacted them. They may be sending you signs which you may have overlooked unintentionally. Also, a lot of times people want the contact so bad. They send out this, I want energy, which is so filled with desire and angst, it actually creates a negative energy barrier. And so I tell people it's better to refocus that energy to, I invite you to come to me. I invite you into my dreams. I ask you, I invite and I welcome you to come to me. And don't expect it to happen right away because we're not, they're not on our timetable. But when you start refocusing your energy from I want, it's like the Starship Enterprise lowering deflector shields, okay? When you say I want, or people during a reading when they say no to everything, no, that doesn't make sense, because they're not feeling, they're shooting things down as opposed to staying open to it. So I hope that answers your question, but rest assured, spirits are immortal living beings. You cannot kill a spirit. They do not disintegrate into nothingness. They're around you, and they're aware of what's going on with you.
Thank you so much. That really helps.
Thank you for the call, Marilyn. Really appreciate it. 818-672-6865. That's 818-672-6865 from North Carolina tonight. You say spirits are immortal. Do you care to expand on that, Mark? So they just all spirits are immortal, or some, or
energy. Energy is immortal. Laws of thermodynamics. Energy is neither created nor destroyed, only transferred from one form to another. And the electrical field in our brain, the quantum field, that's our soul. And you can't destroy electricity. It just gets transferred from one state or one form to another. It's like making a telephone call. The electrical activity in your brain activates your lungs to exhale air, your vocal cords to vibrate, so that electrical activity then gets transferred into sound wave energy, which hits the plate in your phone, which vibrates, taking the sound wave energy, turning it into mechanical energy, which then becomes electrical energy till it hits the antenna in your phone, which becomes radio wave energy, and then it gets transferred to a tower, taking the radio wave energy back to electrical energy through miles of wire to an antenna.
Explode.
Which beams it up to a series of satellites and then pops out in your ear. So, and this is all happening at the speed of light, and this energy is all being transferred to different forms, but it's still energy. And it's the same thing with the soul, is that it never disintegrates. It cannot be destroyed. It's only transferred to a different form. So the people that we love, what we miss is their physical presence. What we have to learn to live with is the absence of the physical presence, and realize then that our relationship goes from one of a physical to one of a spiritual nature.
Our final half hour with the psychic lawyer, Mark Anthony, next.
This is Paranormal News. I'm John Jeter. Do you believe that life exists from other dimensions? Well, I think the results are pretty overwhelming around here. But when it comes to mainstream American belief in aliens, YouGov polled more than 2,000 people last month to find out. Less than 20% believe our government would actually tell us. 29% are of the mindset that first contact would be peaceful, while 19% think that aliens will be hostile toward us. Just a little over 10% believe the U.S. government has already made contact, but it's covering up the fact, compared to 55% who say they would hide it if given the chance. Would you take a swig of water if it was the color pink? Ooh, I don't know about that. What about bathe in it? Well, residents of a province in Alberta, Canada, didn't know what to think when they turned on their faucets or flushed the toilet. Officials say the problem was caused by a problem at the water treatment plant using too much of a chemical to remove bad tastes and smells from drinking water can turn it pink or purple. Public health officials tried to assure residents that it was safe to drink. I don't know about you, but that still just sounds kind of gross, man. The town has flushed its water distribution system in the hopes that it will ease their worries. Could everything we know about the surface of Mars be wrong? Scientists have found that the red planet has far much more water than earlier thought, and therefore significantly increasing the chances of life it could exist on the planet. This comes on top of evidence in 2013 of streaks apparently caused by flowing water, and late last year when a massive underground body of ice water was discovered. As they say, stay tuned, man. Connect with these stories at ParanormalRadio.com. I'm John Jeter with Paranormal News.
You know, as we heard before the break, that heart-wrenching story of losing two close family members. We appreciate the call, though, despite the circumstances, really was a fascinating call. And Mark, how often is that someone is interested in connecting with a lost loved one?
Over 30 million Americans per year consult with psychics. Now, I don't know what the breakdown is with mediums, but I know that I'm very busy and I'm very much in demand because, you know, I'm booked for months in advance. And what I've found, Jeremy, is that the journey through grief is a road nobody wants to take, but unfortunately it's one that we're shoved down at some point. And that if you don't deal with it properly, because a lot of people think if you ignore it, especially men, we're not really good at expressing our emotions. And you think if you just ignore it or suppress it, or maybe have a couple drinks or, you know, take a couple pills, and you'll feel better. You cannot suppress grief. It will emerge in other ways like rage, anger, drug addiction, alcoholism, predatorial behaviors. It is something which must be endured and dealt with. And my website, evidenceofeternity.com, you can find out about getting a reading with me. Most readings I do are over the phone. There are several in person. I do gallery reading events to in group settings throughout the country. And spirit communication is an important therapeutic step in the journey through grief. And there's a grief management page on evidenceofeternity.com, and which will give you several coping techniques. That's a free resource open to everybody. And what I've found is that spirit communication helps you understand that the afterlife exists, that your soul's an immortal living spirit, you can communicate with them, and that the person that you loved has not disintegrated into nothingness. And this is extremely healing. I did a reading, I won't, you know, divulge any names, for a woman today who, and immediately a male energy came through, and I felt a choking sensation and cold and shivering and my lungs filling up, and it was her son who had drowned. Now, this was a reading over the phone, and I don't know anything about the people prior to the reading because I don't want to know anything. And the information that he transmitted made her feel so much better. Now, is it a cure-all? Of course not, because no one thing is. To get through grief, you need to don't go through it alone. Reach out to your family members and friends. Turn to your faith community. A lot of churches, synagogues, temples, they have grief share groups. If you don't want to go the religious route, secular, you know, counseling is good. Physical exercise, indulging in creative activities, sometimes just being in nature. Taking a walk in a park. So there's a lot of things that you can do to help you get through the crushing pain. And I talk about people getting through the grieving process, not getting over it, because you never get over the loss of a loved one. You get to the point where you accept the reality of the loss. Through that acceptance, you find inner peace. And that's the objective, is getting to the point where you're not in torment. You need to let go of the sorrow caused by the death, but never let go of the love for the one who you have lost.
Very important, Mark. When it comes to being psychic, men and women, are they about on par?
Yes and no. Women have an edge because women are socialized to embrace their emotions, and men are not. And psychic activity is an emotional, it's a right brain function where you need to listen to your intuitive feelings. Like every guy that I know, if you ask them, hey, does your wife have women's intuition? They all will say yes. Women will accept that. With guys, what we have to do, Jeremy, is term it instinct or gut. And every guy in the military, every soldier, sailor, Marine that I have dealt with talks about their gut instinct. You know, my dad was a Navy SEAL, and he's all about gut instinct. And you've got to rely on that. And basically what you're saying is you're relying on your psychic intuition. Guys just don't like to call it intuition.
Why is that? Does it have anything to do with why the paranormal community or why the people outside the paranormal community don't like to refer to things as being paranormal? Is it just a vocabulary thing, or what's behind that?
Well, you know what it is? Intuition is associated with a feminine attribute, and a lot of guys think that they're feminizing themselves if they talk about, oh, I have intuition. But if you have gut, it's like Harrison Ford, Denzel, Samuel L. Jackson, you know, Matt Damon. They have gut, okay? They portray characters who are gutsy as opposed to intuitive. So it's more of a social stigma. But if you get rid of all that nonsense and realize that you get a feeling about someone, you trust your feelings, because inevitably when I give seminars and in group settings and I ask people – okay, all of you who have gotten an intuitive or a gut feeling and overruled it, are you A, happy you've done it, or B, wish that you would have listened to it? And let me tell you, practically every hand in the room goes up to say, I wish I would have listened to it.
Broken heart syndrome, is that real?
Absolutely it is. In a profound state of grief, people generate hormones that cause the left ventricle in the heart to swell up and to begin to malfunction, and it can kill you. And the best example that I can think of is when Carrie Fisher died. Okay, Princess Leia. And on the Parabnormal, I know you know who Princess Leia was, and
hell
all
yeah.
Your fans do, and I certainly do. And then the very next day, her mother, actress Debbie Reynolds, died. And what happens is the hormones of grief cause your heart to malfunction, cause the left ventricle to swell up, and you actually die of a broken heart. So this is a very, very real condition. And so for those of you who are listening, if you lose a child or a spouse or someone that you love very much, and then you start getting shortness of breath and angina, which is chest pain, and you can actually feel your heart going kerclunk, kerclunk, because when your heart's functioning normally, you shouldn't feel it at all. And when you start feeling your heart skipping a beat or palpating, you know, where it's a regular heartbeat, you get to an emergency room, you get to a doctor, a hospital right away, because broken heart syndrome can kill you. But it is a treatable and reversible condition. And here's the thing, Jeremy, is that people with no history of heart disease can die of broken heart syndrome. You can have a perfectly healthy heart, but because of the hormones of grief, it can send you into this fatal cardiac arrest.
818-672-6865. Time for another call or two. 818-672-6865, or you can click the Skype button at parabnormalradio.com. Morning sickness. This isn't what females go through. This is, and we're not talking about a hangover either, morning with a U.
mass mourning, morning sickness. For example, when somebody like Prince, okay, Prince or David Bowie or Michael Jackson or Princess Diana, Whitney Houston, Carrie Fisher, Debbie Reynolds, a popular figure dies and people, millions of people are grieving. And what's fascinating about this studying this, it's like when Robin Williams died, I felt like a friend of mine died. And I thought about it. It's like my entire life, Robin Williams has been there making me laugh. And what happens is we identify with these celebrities, these figures. And when they die, even though we may not have personally known them, we feel a sense of loss. And a lot of people scoff at it. Oh, you're making a big deal out of nothing. But it's a very real loss. On another level, something like the Sandy Hook shootings or San Bernardino or the Pulse nightclub, you see a horrific thing like that happening. And even though you may not have known any of the people that were killed there, it affects you personally, and you grieve and you mourn. And this is a very real form of grief. And you shouldn't just blow it off. You should acknowledge it for what it is. I mean, I felt bad when Robin Williams died. I felt bad when Prince died. You know, I mean, I felt bad when Princess Leia, you know, Carrie Fisher died. And it's okay. It is okay to grieve people that you don't know. But just realize that this is not an unusual thing, and just go with it.
So, Mark, how can we be more in tune with maybe our psychic side? Does every one of us have one?
Everybody has the same physiological equipment. We all have a solar plexus, which is the bundle of nerves at the bottom of the rib cage, at the bottom of the sternum, which is the second most complex bundle of nerves outside of the cerebral cortex, and that's why you get gut feelings. And we all have a pineal gland in our brain, so we all have the same physiological equipment, and so everyone is capable of having a psychic experience. Doesn't necessarily mean everyone is a psychic. Some people are just better at it than others, and I believe that it's an inherent ability, and a lot of people want to develop it, and maybe they can to some extent. And I've known a lot of people who've tried to develop their psychic ability and simply couldn't. It's like saying, well, I want to be an Olympic swimmer. Well, yeah, maybe you can swim, but that doesn't mean you're going to end up being like Michael Phelps. So we're just simply all good at doing different things.
Mm-hmm. Mark, final thoughts tonight, and it has been absolutely fantastic having you on the program.
Well, thank you, Jeremy. I've really enjoyed the show. I look forward to coming back. And my final thoughts are that you have to realize that people you love are going to die. And as much as we would like to live in the Republic of Kumbaya and ride around on our unicorn with rainbows everywhere,
where we all get gold stars,
that's not this world. And that death is a reality, and we have to embrace our grief. You can't outdrink it, outsnort it, outmaneuver it. You have to endure it, learn about it, embrace it, express it. Because that's the healthy thing to do. And crying, if I can leave anything with anybody, crying is healthy because the tears of grief are chemically different than regular tears. They actually contain the hormones which cause depression, and they actually contain those same hormones that can throw you into cardiac failure known as broken heart syndrome. So guys, we have hearts, we have feelings, we have tear ducts for a reason. So having a good cry for someone you love does not make you weak. It makes you stronger.
Hey, Mark, make sure you set your clock ahead an hour when you go to bed tonight, okay?
Good point. Good point. I know. It seems like every clock I have is like my cell phone and digital and the cable box and the computer. So for my car, I think I'm good.
Yeah, it is 2017. I mean, most things do update themselves unless you have a clock radio or something like that, I guess.
You know what? I threw mine out years ago. It started making this weird noise always at 3 in the morning, and it was like, you know what? I don't need it, you know. So yeah. It's like most of the things update themselves. And to all the listeners, thank you for tuning into the show tonight. And certainly keep tuning into the Para-Abnormal, because this is a great show.
Well, I appreciate the endorsement, and we'll make sure that we keep checking out your website, evidenceofeternity.com. You can follow the psychic lawyer Mark Anthony's work there. And until we meet again, best to you, Mark.
Thank you. Many blessings.
Absolutely. So next week on the program, friends, it's going to be the 20th year anniversary of the Phoenix Lights, as they're actually coming up in just a couple of nights. Right now, about 20 years ago, there was a weird thing happening in the mountains in Phoenix, Arizona. And people's eyes were to the sky. They had no clue what they were about to witness. And yet, what they did see goes down in history as one of the most mass sightings of its time, and witnessed by the most amount of people ever. Lynn Kitai, the doctor, Lynn Kitai, has literally been covering the Phoenix Lights since it happened 20 years ago. And she'll be joining me next week on the program. Dr. Kitai is one of those people that she literally could talk for the entire program, and she very well might, with all the utmost respect in the world for Dr. Kitai. It is hard to find a point in which to break in, because the conversation is so darn riveting. If you haven't heard her tell the story of the Phoenix Lights before, certainly you'll want to be here in the program next week. If you have heard her tell the story of the Phoenix Lights, it's not just going to be the same old song and dance. But now, 20 years after the Phoenix Lights, do we know anything more now than we knew then as it relates to that topic? And it's still happening. There are still events out there in the desert that continue to draw attention. In fact, as we've got some time left, 818-672-6865. Anybody in Arizona listening to the program tonight where you are not going to turn your clocks ahead at 2 a.m.? 818-672-6865. That's 818-672-6865. But Dr. Kitai next week on the program talking the Phoenix Lights. And then the week after, March 25th, I'll be joined by the great Stephen Bassett. He is the disclosure king as it relates to UFO and ET disclosure. Also, the disclosure activists will be back, and I'm actually going to be joined by a former member of the Air Force and a MUFON investigator who is joining the disclosure activists in their quest for international disclosure. If you can hear my voice right now, and you believe that the planet in which, not just the planet, but the making of everything that we exist on is a globe, like we were all taught in school, that it is round like a basketball. Kyrie Irving says, basketballs are round, but the earth is flat. Trust me, there are plenty of people out there who believe that the earth is flat. They believe it with all their might. And they make some very convincing cases for it. Of course, that goes against everything that we've ever been taught or known, against our conventional wisdom, as they say. The problem is whether you have numbers on your side or not, these people don't want to come out of the woodworks. And I'm talking about the people who believe in what the majority of this country and this world believes in, which is that the earth is round like a globe. 9 out of 10 of your friends are going to believe that the earth is round, like we've always been taught, right? But there's going to be that one person, maybe, who says, nope, I believe the earth is flat like a pancake. I got to give the flat earthers credit because they have guts. Even though they are in the majority, they're stepping up to the plate, friends. They're coming out of the woodwork, and they want to take you people on. The problem is none of you people have the guts to take them on. I've put out a couple of tweets. I've messaged a couple people. I've sent a few emails. I mean, I'm trying my hardest to make this debate happen in a couple of weeks on this program on April the 1st, when we welcome our newest affiliate, KTLK, thefringe.fm. And thanks to Joseph and to Dave and everybody over there making me a part of the family. KTLK, thefringe.fm, joining the Into the Parabnormal family starting on April the 1st. And on that night, I hope to have a debate. Is the earth round? Is the earth flat? We're going to put everybody into the cage. We're going to lock the door. And we're going to see who comes out the winner. That's if we can get people from the other side on. Because I don't want to just sit here and talk to a couple of people who believe that the earth is flat. Although that would be kind of entertaining. I would much rather have someone on the other side who actually believes that the earth is round, like the majority of us. But if you have the guts to come on the program, or you know somebody who would be perfect for that, and you want to put them up to it, you can send me an email by just going to parabnormalradio.com, parabnormalradio.com. Put the B between the A and the N, or you're going to get somewhere else, and click the contact page. Send me a message, and if we have to make you anonymous, if you want to go by Joe Sunshine, you can come on the air as Joe Sunshine. I don't care. I want a debate. I want people who actually believe in the side in which they are arguing for. And I can tell you, we have two real deals on the flat earth side. These are people who live, eat, breathe, sleep. The earth is flat. So, if you have what it takes to challenge them, get a hold of me. Go to parabnormalradio.com. It's really that simple. I'll make everything else happen. You just get in touch with me. Trust me. If we need to make you anonymous, protect you, we'll do that. That's April 1st, hopefully. It certainly has been an enlightening program tonight. And when we talk to you next week, we'll dive into the phenomenon that is still yet unexplained 20 years later. We're talking Phoenix Lights next week with the great Dr. Lynn Kitai. Until then, for John Jeter and for our fine affiliates, WLRU in Hillsboro, Ohio, Valentine Radio in Texas, the KCOR Digital Radio Network out of Las Vegas, and all of you streaming partners, including KTLK, thefringe.fm, coming April 1st. I'm Jeremy Scott. Good evening.